First of all, there are 13 families that effectively control the central banks of the hard currency countries. The hard currency countries are the countries whose currencies are caused not to fluctuate as much as the other countries' currencies fluctuate. Those 13 families have the control of the policy making and decision making of the central banks of those countries. They all, with one accord, practice fractional reserve banking. The fractional reserve banking has allowed the central banks to permit the prime banks, whose owners and controllers are the same people as the central banks, to lend up to 26 units of currency for every one unit of currency they have, quote, on deposit. The initial final stages of the final phase of System 2000, which is the global creditors unilateral totalitarian plan, were put into effect back in the mid-70s. A Pentagon official and three other US government officials visited the Prime Minister of Nigeria, paid him $50 million to double, in fact more than double, the price of Bonnylite, which is the crude oil from Nigeria. At the same time, Bush and some other of the Trilateral Commission were in the Middle East, persuading the Middle East nations and England to consolidate OPEC, of which, of course, America is also a part, but never mentioned. The deal cut with the Middle Eastern oil producers was that the oil buyers were prepared to pay significantly higher prices for the oil, provided the Middle Eastern nations supported America, this is how it was put, by investing the revenues in the big banks in America. Sheikh Yamani's nephew assured us that Sheikh Yamani and the other oil ministers did not know until late in the 70s, early in the 80s, that the controlling interests of the prime banks were also the same people who had the controlling interests of the major oil companies. Actually, through a joint stock trust that was set up by the original Rockefeller here in America in 1870, 3 years before the US government declared joint stock trusts illegal in 1873, it is that entity that is the ultimate controlling factor in America of the prime banks, the Federal Reserve Board, the major oil companies, and many of the major multinationals. That trust is in joint control of the Rockefeller Foundation and the European interests. The deal cut with the Saudis and the Kuwaitis and the Middle Eastern people was that they should put their money in the prime bank. They did not know that the prime banks were able to lend 20-1, I think it is in this country, but maybe more now, but their revenues, all they were receiving was the interest on the money they deposited between 10 and 30 years, receiving the principal at the end of the term. Because they had locked in deposits, the banks were then able to make loans to the third world nations, knowing and relying on the greed of the ministers of these nations to mishandle the money over the years, to the extent where that manipulated greed has caused those countries to be in the position they're in. In 1981, I was exposed to trying to help the Hunt brothers in Texas, because they, with John Connolly, who was then the governor of Texas, who was also then the undersecretary of the Treasury, had secretly tried to implement a currency, a new currency for Texas, since Texas is only a part of the Union, by treaty, which is automatically renewed every year, but not necessarily automatically renewed every year. It's become a tradition, obviously, that it's renewed every year, but it's actually not renewed every year. And the intention was that Texas was going to create its own money. The Hunts were in partnership with the Shah of Iran, a German banker, and an Austrian banker. The Federal Reserve Board got to hear about it. The Hunts were buying silver irresponsibly because they had one man doing both buying and selling on the same floors of all the exchanges, and word got out. And the result of that was that the German banker was murdered. You may remember the Baader-Meinhof terrorists at the time, who only actually ever murdered one person, although a lot of industrialists were captured and held to ransom and various other things. Only one actually man, which was a banker, ever got murdered, and it was that banker that was a partner of the Hunts. The Austrian banker was so badly beaten up that he would never get out of a mental institution. And the Hunts, you know what happened to them, they're virtually bankrupt today, despite the fact that they had about 16 billion in worth at the time. The Shah was perfectly healthy when he left Iran. He was only declared sick when he arrived in America, held in, quote, protective custody, unquote, in U.S. military bases where he was treated and became progressively worse and ultimately was shipped off to die. Not before all his assets had been frozen, which doesn't make much sense until you realize the ploy of the globalists. That's something of a red herring, but it's interesting. In 1983, we became aware of the fact that a group of very, very quiet bank holding companies, which are authorized under Regulation Y, Section 225.4 of USC, to extend credit, also to do it internationally, incidentally, but to extend credit wherever they feel like it, under whatever terms they feel like it, under Regulation Y. We became aware of the fact that those companies were receiving loans from the prime banks to buy foreclosed real property in the form of agricultural property and businesses with bricks and mortar from liquidations and foreclosures and bankruptcies which were being effected with by the FDIC and the FSLIC, which are indeed subsidiaries, at least totally under the control of the Federal Reserve Board. We couldn't understand this. And between 1983 and 1985, researched it and still couldn't understand it. In the end of 1985, we were approached by an emissary from President... an emissary of President Marcos and President Suharto and another from Indonesia with a severe problem that they had. And that problem they had was that, having borrowed all the money they borrowed, they needed more money. But the only way that the IMF were prepared to lend them money was if they eliminated their own currency, became dollar denominated, subsequently eliminated cash altogether, and went on to a unilateral, centralized credit card system, which was part of their social security system, part of their identity system. Everybody in the country, social security number was synonymous with a credit number. And then their central bank was to act as the wholesaler for credit, which was extended to it by the new super bank, which was announced by Paul Volcker on the 27th of October 1985, and subsequently almost immediately ratified by Ronald Reagan, the six digits of the name of which all are, I mean the digits of the three names of which all add up to six, incidentally. a further contingent condition of the benevolence of the IMF, and I'm being facetious, was that in order to help the economy of that country, those countries, the IMF were going to nominate external, non-domestic corporations to properly engineer and exploit and excavate the minerals of those countries, the natural resources of those countries, in return for perpetual royalties, and in return for those same companies' nomination of the all the ancillary companies that would be involved with the exploration and excavation, thereby bringing prosperity to the nation. But Marcos was sharp enough to pick up the word perpetual and realized quite obviously that in so doing he would be signing away the sovereignty of his nation, and was not prepared to do that. And approached us through his emissary, one of the colonels, Colonel Christopher Urbanis, who came to see us. We were aware, before we were approached, of this offer made by the IMF through our connections in London, who are close to Sir Geoffrey Howe. And we were also aware of the Arab connections that had happened earlier. In return for President Suharto and President Marcos' capitulation to the IMF's terms and conditions, they were to have their existing debts forgiven absolutely, and the new lines of credit that were to be extended to them were to be upon better terms and conditions. When we heard the word perpetual, when we heard the word totally forgiven, we then immediately began to recognize what another group of holding companies operating with the previous group of holding companies that we mentioned were doing. And what they were doing, the second group of holding companies, was receiving credit from the first group of holding companies to purchase assets and liabilities from the prime banks. Now, the only liabilities they were purchasing were the liabilities represented by the deposits of the Arab nations. The only assets they were buying were the assets represented by the loans made to some of the debtor nations. It then became clear, as a result of actually initially observation and subsequently ratification by information from within the Trinational Commission, where we have our own people, that the forgiveness of the Third World debts would quite obviously eliminate the assets which were being purchased by this second group of holding companies, leaving them only with the liabilities that were owed to the Middle Eastern nations, being serviced by the prime banks. Hence, the Arab nations had no idea that these liabilities were now owned by the holding companies, any more than the debtor nations had stopped paying the prime banks. Prime banks and the holding company's arrangement was merely that the prime banks were going to act as servicing agents for the holding companies, again, so that the Third World nations didn't know that the holding companies actually were owed the money, because it was filtering through the prime banks and still is. The effect of the elimination of the assets of the second group of holding companies is actually threefold. They would be insolvent and would be legally able to declare themselves insolvent. Go into chapter 7, or 13, I forget, but one or the other. Declare themselves bankrupt, declare themselves insolvent, and legally and legitimately avoid payment to the Middle Eastern nations. The precipitous effect of that, in view of the westernization of the Third World nations, is obvious. They would have to, and will have to, liquidate all the other assets they have, at least a colossal volume of the other assets that they have, a colossal volume of the other assets that they have, which frankly are primarily represented by US corporate ownership by them and US corporate ownership of many, many billions of dollars worth of US stock. The effect of the Saudis and the Kuwaitis and the Middle Eastern people's sale of even 25% of their total holdings on the US market and the other markets that US dollar denominated will be absolutely chaotic in terms of the stock market, real estate, and everything else. The catastrophic effect of that has been designed to throw the American stock market, American private corporations, American real estate, and people in general into a state of confusion. The plan is that at that time, the state of confusion will be greeted with the salvation of the benevolent bankers on two fronts. Firstly, they propose to eliminate cash because of the collapse, and also, secondarily, to stop drug trafficking, thirdly, to stop tax cheating. And nobody can argue with any of those reasons. It is at that point that they intend to implement a mandatory credit card, identity, social security, government, if you like, ID card, which will be satellite linked through the quote Star Wars program, which has nothing to do, at least it is, it's about 40% to do with Star Wars and 62% concerned with the transmission of banking information. The central bank, which will be the super bank, into which all the other major banks will be linked, into which all the subsidiary banks, rather like a family. The super bank is to be the wholesaler, the prime banks, the retailers in this country, the prime banks, the retailers, the central banks, the retailers in the foreign countries that have capitulated to the IMS program. It is a world design, it is a world order, it is a world program, and our information may be wrong, but in timing, our information is not inaccurate in its information, but it may be wrong in its timing. Subsequent information that I've received from Switzerland is that by October the 1st, 12 countries, 12 debtor nations had agreed to the IMS proposals. It only needs the rest of them to agree, and it only needs, in fact, 5% of the total debtor nations, 1/20th, to equal all of the deposits in the banks of the Saudis. Because of this 20-to-1 ratio, it works in contrary reverse. So it doesn't need very many foreign nations to agree to the IMS proposals for the total volume of money owed to equal the total volume of money on deposit from the Saudis. In fact, only 1/5 of the total debts, I'm sorry, 1/20th of the total debts will do that, 5%. The resultant collapse of the second group of holding companies will precipitate the Saudis and the Kuwaitis' liquidation of assets. It will also precipitate their inability to pay the bank holding, the private group of bank holding companies, the money that they owe them for the credit extension to them to buy the assets and liabilities, which in turn will precipitate those holding bank holding companies' inability to pay the loans extended to them by the prime banks to buy the foreclosed land, which was used as collateral to secure those loans. Hence, ultimately, the prime banks will end up with all the property, which is clearly why they're foreclosing so desperately on as many farms as they are. This is also added to by President Garcia's announcement in February of this year that they were absolutely not going to pay the IMF, but going to pay the debts.
He says because they are allowed to loan out 22-to-1 ratio, it only takes 5% of the third world countries to declare bankruptcy. When they do and accept the plan of the international bankers, only 5%, which only requires a few more nations, then they can declare the bank holding companies bankrupt, the Arabs bankrupt, and initiate their plan because of the contrary reverse of the 22-to-1 loans. Only 5% of the third world countries could basically declare the world bankrupt and in the ownership and the hands of the international bankers. When this program is initiated and in place, it will wind up with the international bankers owning all mortgaged property. What will that do to the United States of America and the world? And what control will they have when they initiate their debit card and the automatic number that's required because the country is devastated? You notice that all of this is to their advantage because now they will own the majority of the United States of America, control the Arabs, and by a 30-year program of manipulation will have brought the peoples of the world under their control. Just today, I was told that Congressman George Hansen said to a gentleman who is in the audience tonight, only last week, that we have less than 1 year to inform the American people and turn this situation around, or we can consider ourselves forever slaves. Now, I know it looks like a bleak picture, but it's not. Because you're here tonight. You are America. You are we the people, right?
Right.
Not we the sheeple.
That's right.
And there are some of you here who are not going to stop until we stay free. And Lindsey Williams is one of them. That's the reason that I dared tonight to give in what I consider one of the most knowledgeable areas of America to an audience such as you for the first time the story of Jonathan May. Because I believe that here tonight we can start something that can spread across this country and we can stop their little Ponzi game. The Arabs already know about it. There is something we can do about it. John Bergen, the very elite businessman in Minneapolis, Minnesota, was so disturbed when he heard this, and he was so moved until he took one full week out of his busy schedule managing a large firm and went to Washington himself personally. He tried to contact every senator who would listen to him and tried to tell him the story of Jonathan May. He personally stayed there and begged them to listen to his story before some catastrophic event took place in America. He had already verified it with the Arabs. Now, if you will contact your congressman, will you please tell them that America is in jeopardy and that if they ever cared anything about their position, they had better do something now? If you happen to watch the movie or the video America, you watched them shoot, as they said hypothetically, the congressman in Washington. It could happen. Who will go first when they take over? The people who are in power. They are the very people who have the most to lose. You and I have much to lose. We have to do something. We cannot stop.